You're listening to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about adopting a plant-based diet, full or part-time. Our goal is to empower you to live a long and healthy life. You can find today's show at ordinaryvegan.net or on iTunes. If you have any questions, please send an email to questions@ordinaryvegan.net.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, number 58, Lyme disease protection, symptoms, and treatment. It's finally getting warm here in the United States, and many of us have vacation plans to enjoy this beautiful weather. And I'm sure the same goes for our friends in Europe and Canada and many parts of the world. I love summer because it's devoted to more leisure and fun times with all the people I love. And I can't be outside enough. And since my number one goal is to keep you guys healthy, I wanted to devote today's podcast to Lyme disease. My intention is not to scare you about being infected with Lyme disease, because odds are you are not going to catch it. But as I will reveal in this podcast, climate change is making the odds of catching Lyme disease more favorable. In understanding what it is, the symptoms, and how to protect yourself is worth your time. I promise. If we haven't met, my name is Nancy Montori, and I am the founder of this podcast and the Ordinary Vegan website. I advocate a plant-based diet for health and wellness, for the environment, and to help protect animals from inhumane treatment. Before we get started today, I wanted to give a shout out to my amazing producer, Doug Barnes. People often comment on the great sound quality of these podcasts, and it is because of Doug Barnes. So thank you, Doug, for being so diligent and for your dedication to your craft. I would also like to thank all of you for sharing your thoughts and kind words with me. It is what keeps me going, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart, so never hesitate to reach out. Now, let's talk about Lyme disease. Anyone who spends time in the outdoors, in backyards, in the woods, fields, and even urban parks should be concerned about tick-borne diseases. Because, according to many reports, Lyme disease caused by ticks increasingly threatened the health of people all over the world. Over the past two decades, seven new tick-borne germs that can cause illness have been identified. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, also known as the CDC, the number of reported cases of Lyme disease in the United States has tripled. The states with the highest incidence of Lyme disease is number one, Maine, followed by Vermont, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Delaware, New Jersey, Connecticut, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Maryland, West Virginia, New York, and Virginia. Tick-borne diseases are also on the rise in other states like Florida, where there has been a 77% increase in Lyme disease infections. But it is not just in the United States. The European Center for Disease Prevention and Control say ticks are abundant in woodlands all across Europe from early spring to late autumn. Tick-borne encephalitis is the most common tick-borne disease in Europe. Canada has also seen a greater risk of acquiring Lyme disease, and some patients are reporting that doctors in Canada are not aware of how prevalent it is, and it is difficult for them to diagnose it early. And sadly, due to climate change, Lyme disease has spread to Asia and all around the world. According to popular science, Lyme disease is thriving because warmer temperatures are making cold places suitable habitats for ticks. One study predicts the incidence of Lyme disease will rise around 21% by mid-century because of climate change. And higher temperatures spur ticks to venture further in search of hosts besides deer like squirrels and mice. So, what is Lyme disease? Lyme disease is caused by a bacterial species called Borrelia burgdorferi. Hopefully, I pronounced that correctly. And this bacterial species is transmitted to humans through the bite of infected black-legged ticks. Not all ticks are infected with the bacteria that causes Lyme disease. Ticks can become infected if they feed on animals such as mice and other mammals that are infected. The disease can be spread when an infected tick bites a person and stays attached to that person for a period of time. These black-legged ticks, sometimes called deer ticks, are typically about the size of a sesame seed. The ticks that transmit Lyme disease can also transmit other diseases. Fortunately, Lyme disease and some of the other related diseases are treated with the same antibiotics. So Lyme disease is a bacterial infection that is spread by ticks. It was first recognized in 1975 when a large number of children in the town, Lyme, Connecticut, were being diagnosed with juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. Researchers investigated and found that tick bites were causing the illnesses. Although Lyme disease is not thought of as an autoimmune disease by nature, its chronic symptoms can compromise the immune system and lead to the development of autoimmune disease. Now, let's talk about the symptoms of Lyme disease that can be mild, sometimes overlooked, or even misdiagnosed. But before we get to symptoms, I would like to stop to take a moment to thank our friends at Clean Lean Protein by NewsEst for supporting the Ordinary Vegan Podcast. You guys are always asking me for my recommendation for protein powders, and the thing I like the most about Clean Lean Protein Powder is that it's high in protein, low in fats and carbs, and it doesn't have all the sugar and additives that most protein powders contain. So anytime you need a vegan protein boost, Clean Lean Protein will do the job. My favorite flavor is smooth vanilla, but they also have rich chocolate, wild strawberry, and real coffee. I have a feeling you will enjoy it as much as I did. You can receive 15% off your order of any regular price products by going to newzest.us/OV15. That is newzest.us/OV in the number 15. Available right now. Thanks, NewsEst. So, one of the reasons I wanted to do a podcast on Lyme disease is because it can easily go undiagnosed, mainly because the symptoms are diverse and are associated to other ailments like the flu. When this happens, you can develop late stage or chronic Lyme disease, which is less likely to respond to antibiotics, resulting in ongoing, potentially debilitating symptoms. Unfortunately, these can last a lifetime, so it is very important to protect yourself from getting it in the first place. Early signs and symptoms begin approximately 3 to 30 days after a tick bite. These symptoms can include fever, chills, headache, fatigue, muscle and joint aches, and swollen lymph nodes. Another symptom is erythema migrans, meaning migrating redness, which is an expanding rash often seen in the early stage of Lyme disease. It can appear anywhere from 1 day to 1 month after a tick bite. The rash does not represent an allergic reaction to the bite, but rather an actual skin infection from the genus Borrelia. According to the CDC, this rash begins at the site of a tick bite after a delay of 3 to 30 days, and the average is 7 days. The rash expands gradually over a period of days and can reach up to 12 inches across. It may feel warm to the touch, but is really itchy or painful. Sometimes it clears as it enlarges, resulting in a target or bull's eye appearance. By the way, this may appear on any area of your body. Later signs and symptoms can occur days to months after a tick bite, and those can include additional rashes on other areas of the body. You could also experience severe headaches, neck stiffness, or loss of muscle tone, like a droop on one or both sides of the face. There can be intermittent pain in muscles, heart palpitations, episodes of dizziness or shortness of breath, inflammation of the brain and spinal cord, nerve pain, shooting pains, numbness or tingling in the hands and feet, and even problems with short-term memory. In the later stages, it can lead to anxiety and depression. There are also a few studies connecting hearing loss to patients who had tick-borne diseases. The good news is that people treated with appropriate antibiotics in the early stages of Lyme disease usually recover rapidly and 100% completely. And the National Institutes of Health has funded several studies on the treatment of Lyme disease that prove most people recover when treated within a few weeks with antibiotics. So don't get overly concerned if you get it, because it can be treated as long as you know you have it. Just an FYI, there's no evidence that Lyme disease is contagious from person to person and is not transmitted sexually or by kissing or by infected animals. The CDC does recommend that you don't donate blood when you have Lyme disease. If you've been bitten by a tick, always remember, the longer the tick remains attached to your skin, the greater the risk of getting the disease. To safely remove a tick, grab some pointy tweezers and some rubbing alcohol. You want tweezers with pointy tips, not squared off ones. As I mentioned earlier, ticks can be as small as poppy seeds, and if you use regular tweezers, you might tear them, leaving half of them in your skin. First, you clean the area around the tick bite with rubbing alcohol. Then you get your tweezers right down on your skin so you can grab as close as possible to the tick's head. Pull up, slow and firm. Don't jerk or twist it, just an easy, steady pressure straight up. Then clean the area with rubbing alcohol or soap and water. I was very surprised to find out this, but you can send a tick for testing so you'll know if it was carrying any diseases. To do this, you place it in a sealed container along with a blade of grass to keep it alive. Then take it for testing. Some state agencies will do tick testing. Or you can order a comprehensive tick report from a company called Tick Report and learn what disease-causing microbes the tick may be carrying, including pathogens that cause Lyme disease. I will put a link in this week's show notes. But it is important to throw it away safely. Whatever you do, don't handle the tick in any way. Once again, only a minority of tick bites lead to Lyme disease, but the longer the tick remains attached to your skin, the greater your risk of getting the disease. Now let's talk about some steps we can take to make sure we never expose ourselves to tick bites. People who are at an increased risk of tick bites are people who spend time in wooded or grassy areas. In the U.S., deer ticks are found mostly in the heavily wooded areas of the Northeast and Midwest. But as I mentioned before, these ticks are spreading out, so you have to be careful anywhere in or out of the U.S. in grassy wooded areas. Children who spend a lot of time outdoors, especially in risk regions, are especially vulnerable. And adults with outdoor occupations are also at increased risk. So, The best way to prevent Lyme disease is to avoid areas where deer ticks live, especially wood brush areas with long grass. Ticks attach easily to bare flesh. So if you're in an area where ticks are common, protect yourself and your children by wearing long sleeves and long pants, and don't allow your pets to wander in tall weeds and grasses. When you're in a wooded or grassy area, wear shoes and long pants tucked into your socks and a long-sleeved shirt and hat and gloves. If you're a hiker, stick to the trails and avoid walking through low bushes and long grass, and keep your dog on a leash. Also, perform regular tick checks on yourself, your family, and your pets. And if you spend a lot of time outdoors, carry those pointy tweezers and alcohol swabs just in case you need them. By the way, shower soon after being in a tick habitat or even out hiking. Ticks can be on clothing, so if you've just finished hiking or walking in an area of thick vegetation, don't leave clothes on your bed or sofa. Wash them immediately, and don't sleep with your dog without a thorough check for ticks after hiking. Don't think urban parks are any better than the woods. Sitting on logs or walking in tall grasses can put you at risk, even in an urban park. Be careful raking leaves. Many ticks hide under leaves, particularly in the south, as ticks tend to hide from the heat and sun. And don't think you're safe because your neighborhood has no deer. Ticks use other host animals like mice and squirrels. Those animals can also be carriers of ticks depending on where you live. Take care of your property. Try to keep grass, trees, and shrubs close to your residence trimmed. Now let's talk about tick repellent. The last thing you want to do is spray and expose yourself, your kids, and animals with a bunch of chemicals engineered to keep ticks away. The good news is there are some all-natural bug repellents that can keep insects off you. A 2002 study of mosquito repellents found that soy-based bite blocker for kids was the most effective natural alternative to DEET, D-E-E-T, which is the most widely used chemical repellent. The jury is still out about the safety of DEET, and I always recommend no chemicals at all. Another natural alternative used to keep ticks away is lemon eucalyptus oil. After some research, I found an all-natural DEET-free tick repellent spray called Nantucket Extra Strength Tick Repellent, which is made with organic essential oils like clove, geranium, and peppermint. It is also vegan and chemical-free. It can be sprayed directly onto skin, hair, and clothing. This isn't a paid advertisement, and I've never used it before. Therefore, I have no firsthand knowledge, but you can find it online. Okie dokie. I believe I have covered everything you need to know about Lyme disease. Or at least I hope so. Thank you so much for being here. And thanks to Clean Lean Protein by Newzest for sponsoring this podcast. I will put a link to their special offer in this week's show notes. The last thing I would like to say is that it is possible to live a pain-free and anxiety-free life because of the power of hemp. Not only does hemp have all natural medicinal powers, hemp is the most sustainable crop that farmers can grow and can help reduce global warming because it takes out large amounts of carbon dioxide per acre, more than most plants. Hemp products can also replace plastic because they can be recycled, reused, and 100% biodegradable. CBD oil is made from the flowers of the hemp plant. I am very proud to have my own line of all-natural, organic, vegan CBD oil, and I hope it can help you live a pain-free anxiety-free life. You can find my CBD at ordinaryvegan.net/shop. Till next time.
Thanks for joining our plant-based community today. Together, we can accomplish great things. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and plant-based tips. If you have any questions or feedback, email us at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. Until next time.